Lucas, the Athletic's Golden Knights reporter. And Jesse, my question for you is, in the short time they've been together, has Pete DeBoer and the Vegas Golden Knights been a great combo?
Well, I mean, it's a little early to judge that, I think. He hasn't had much practice time, obviously. That was that road trip. And Pete DeBoer has kind of said from the moment he took over in Vegas that he's going to use those first three games to kind of just be an observer, watch his players, watch the assistant coaches running the game, those guys kind of work with the players, see what he's got. And then he plans on using this week for the All-Star break to meet with his coaches and try to start implementing his own things. And we've seen a few little tweaks here and there. Their shifts are a little shorter. They've changed some things on the penalty kill a little bit. But we're really going to see what the Pete DeBoer-led Golden Knights look like out of this All-Star break. So it's a little tough to say for now.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's been a little early. And what we're doing here, Jesse, is we're trying to get a sense of the five teams in Pacific fighting for a spot. You know, what's happened and what could happen moving forward. So, you know, from a distance, it seems like, or it feels like, that's one of the problems for the Golden Knights has been the goaltending. Is that a fair comment to lay at the feet of these two goaltenders, specifically the Flower?
Yeah, I mean, I think lately for sure. Early in the season, for the first month and a half, Marc-Andre Fleury was probably the best goalie in the NHL, and the Golden Knights were terrible. They were flat-out terrible for that first month, and Fleury was really the only thing keeping them afloat. And since the Golden Knights have kind of returned as a team to playing a little bit better hockey, Fleury's gone the other way. And obviously we know about him losing his father and he missed a week. And since he's returned from that, he hasn't been the same. And Fleury's a guy who relies a lot on his workload and staying in a rhythm. And I think that obviously on the mental side of things, it's hard to focus on hockey. But I think also just not playing hockey for that week kind of threw him off. I think this All-Star break should do him some good to get back on track. But he's definitely not been good enough, and Malcolm Subban hasn't either. I think they're like fifth or sixth worst in the NHL in save percentage lately over the last couple months, and that's obviously not good enough. So I think if you're the Golden Knights, you say, okay, if our problem is goaltending, we feel pretty good about it because you feel like Marc-Andre Fleury eventually will return to being one of the better goalies in the league because he has been for a while.
Jesse, you know, he talked about the goaltending and you know, the defense. There's not a lot of massive names on there. Maybe Nate Schmidt or Shea Theodore being the biggest, but is that group big enough to carry them into what will be a tough last 30-game stretch in the Pacific Division to make the playoffs?
I personally don't think it's good enough. You mentioned Nate Schmidt and Shea Theodore, and really Shea Theodore is the only defenseman on this team that's playing really well right now. He's been elite. He's been probably top 15 defenseman in the NHL this season. But Nate Schmidt is usually their top guy, and he's having an uncharacteristically bad season. He's really struggled lately, especially with puck management and exiting the zone. He's turned the puck over way too much. So for one, they need Nate Schmidt to start being more like the Nate Schmidt of the last two seasons. And for two, I think they need help. I'm convinced that they're going to add a defenseman before the deadline. I've written about it multiple times over the last month. I definitely think they're getting a defenseman. Now, whether that's a rental like Sammy Botner or Eric Gustafson or it's a guy with some term, that's up to them and that's up to how much they want to pay at the deadline. But I do think the Golden Knights need help defensively, and I think they're going to try to get it.
Jesse Granger joins us from The Athletic down there in Vegas, the Golden Knights reporter, taking a look at the five Pacific Division teams that are fighting with the Oilers to get maybe three, maybe four, who knows, maybe five spots if everything goes really well. Everyone gets a seat at the table. Jesse, you talk about making a trade. When they came in, George McPhee and company really did a good job managing their assets, but since that time, they've acquired a few veterans and shipped out some of those assets. Is there still enough in the cupboard to bring a guy in, whether it's short-term or long-term, to bolster the D this year?
Well, you definitely don't want to give up another first-round pick. They've traded three first-round picks, really, because they've traded an actual first-round pick, and then they've traded first-round draft picks in Eric Brännström and Nick Suzuki. Speaking with Kelly McCrimmon lately, I don't think that they're willing to give up a first. But they do have a plethora of second-round picks. I mean, they've got five over the next two seasons, three in addition to their two. So they could package those together if they wanted to. And the Golden Knights have a ton of forward depth. I mean, they've got probably seven or eight legit top six forwards on this team. So if you're going to move one of those guys, I think you could bring in a really good defenseman. Now, you don't want to lose one, but if I think right now a defenseman would help this team more than one of those guys is. So it's kind of like you got to pay something to get something, and I think they could use their forward depth and their additional draft picks to bring someone in.
you know, I've been a little bit negative, kind of asking you, not negative, but questions that are a little bit on the negative tone, but you bring up the forwards, you know, and then you look at the play of like a Max Pacioretty or Mark Stone, Riley Smith, you know, specifically Pacioretty. I know, what is he doing so well this year to rack up the points? He is almost a point of game pace.
Yeah, I mean, he's super confident. Last year, he came in, and he came in late. The trade happened right before training camp, and he just never felt comfortable. He had a couple of nagging injuries that he couldn't really shake throughout the season, and he lost his confidence. I think this year, he felt better coming into this season. Everybody on the team would tell me before the season started, like, this is the best shape I've ever seen him in. He's going to have a monster season, and they were all right. I mean, this is the best hockey Max Pacioretty's ever played, and his shot has always been there. I think, speaking with Max, I think what has changed this season is he's more of a playmaker. He's looking to pass the puck a little more. Usually he's kind of the guy who just finds the soft spot in the ozone, gets the puck, and rips it at the net. And this year he's been setting up Mark Stone, Chandler Stephenson, Paul Stastny, those guys on his line. And he's one of the top assist guys on his team, along with his shot, which everybody knows about Pacioretty's shot. He's been great at that for years. So I think he's added a little bit to his game, and I think he's just really confident.
How would you evaluate the play of Cody Glass?
It's been iffy. It's been up and down, and he's gotten hurt twice, and obviously he's missed some major time with this knee injury lately, mm-hmm. and he's not really close to coming back yet. But when he's been healthy on the ice, on the power play, he's phenomenal. He's one of the best players on the team on the power play, and his vision really shows. He's got a ton of no-look assists this year. You can really see the offensive instincts when he's on the power play because the game is slowed down. When he plays at 5-on-5, first of all, he's playing on the bottom six role, which he's not playing with guys like Pacioretty and Stone, so he doesn't have those same opportunities. And also, the game looks a little fast for him at 5-on-5, and I think as he plays more, the game will slow down a little bit, and then you'll start to see some of those things that you see on the power play at even strength. But for now, it hasn't been good. It's been kind of a wishy-washy season for Glass as a rookie.
One last one for you. You know, we've done this all the teams that we're talking about. What has to go right to make sure that when the music stops, the Vegas Golden Knights have a seat at the playoff table?
Well, I think they're going to make the point. Like, it would have to go very wrong for this team. I mean, you see the talent on this team, and they mm-hmm. should, all things equal, they should probably be running away with this division right now, but they aren't because they've underperformed so much, so badly. So if the guys just start playing more to their level, I think they're going to make the playoffs easy. For them to make a run, which is obviously the goal for this team, but this team didn't enter the season hoping to make the playoffs. They expect a deep run. I think they need help at the blue line, and like you guys mentioned, Marc-Andre Fleury needs to be Marc-Andre Fleury.
I love it. Thanks a lot for that, Jesse. We appreciate it. And it's going to be a fun run to see who pushes and these team pushing each other through the final 30-game stretch.
It should. This last stretch of the Pacific is going to be ridiculous. Thanks for having me on, guys.